Scientists have long told us that by the time children reach this age, 7, 5, even younger, they are largely formed. Abilities and temperament that will serve a lifetime are almost set. But what happens in the early years that has so irreversible an effect? What are the ingredients of the mysterious mix, powerful enough to shape a person while it is still an infant? There is something universal in this intimate, sensuous, sometimes fiery first relationship that we recognize as mothering. From its mother, a child gets its first experiences of the world, the first stimulation of its senses, touch, smell, sight, taste, and hearing. With its mother, a child experiences its first social interchange and its first emotions. Investigators of human behavior are examining all these experiences and their interrelationships to determine what part each plays in a child's development. Can we discover the crucial factors in the rich and various stimulation a mother gives her young? Or is mothering so complex that it will resist analysis? Investigations of the relationship between mother and child proceed at all levels among humans and other mammals. In recent years, these studies of the behavior of lower animals have provided a new angle from which to observe the nature of humans. Most animals die if they are abandoned by their mothers. Motherless human infants usually receive some care. But the powerful effect of mothering upon the young can be appreciated more clearly when it is absent. Some of these children at Neuhaus Institution in Munich have suffered brain damage. Some are mentally retarded. All have suffered the effects of disrupted maternal-infant relationship. The effects of early separation from their mothers upon children were noted in scientific publications some 25 years ago, when psychiatrist Renee Spitz observed a high frequency of retarded development among institutionalized children. The English psychiatrist John Bowlby created controversy in 1944 with his conclusion that early separation leads to a character disorder marked by a lack of affection or feelings for anyone. These depressed children might be found in institutions around the world. They are withdrawn. Their pace of development has slowed. They are listless, vacant, unnaturally passive. They have few emotional contacts or relations with others. Little spontaneity, no laughter, no tears. To go back to the beginning of the relationship between a mother and child, an infant's first human contact is likely to be at the breast of its mother. Here, it is closely held and probably rocked as it receives its first food, and a rich mixture of sensory stimulation, body warmth, touch, taste, smell, the sight of the mother's breast, and the calming of its urgent pangs of hunger. Our animal nature is an endowment we share with other creatures of the earth. If it is valid to compare human and lower animal behavior, the common experience of mammals, breastfeeding, may yield insights into the development of both. Psychologist Harry Harlow at the University of Wisconsin has long studied the importance of early experience to infant monkeys. Some time ago, he initiated groundbreaking experiments dealing with the relative importance of hunger and the sense of touch to young monkeys. In this film record of a Harlow experiment in 1958, a helpless infant monkey shows a simple reflex behavior, moving its head when it is touched. This reflex enables the infant to find the nipple of its mother's breast, but the experimental monkeys never saw their mothers. From birth, the monkeys were fed from bottles. Dr. Harlow then gave several infant monkeys these substitute mothers, a substitute of wire, another covered with cloth. Whether the cloth dummy or the wire dummy held bottles of milk, the monkeys preferred their cloth-covered mother substitutes at all times. In a large cage, with many objects to choose from, the young monkeys chose to cling to the contact comfort of their cloth-covered mothers. The isolated monkeys would spend as much as 15 hours a day clinging to their cloth mothers. And this attachment persisted after a separation as long as 2 years. When the monkeys were frightened, they ran to their cloth mother. When the cloth mother was removed, the monkeys showed signs of extreme disturbance. But they were calmed and comforted when the mother was returned. The wire substitute, even when it held a bottle, excited no affection in the monkeys. The apparent apathy of this animal and its rocking behavior became an important focus of later studies. Today, Dr. Harlow is still investigating the depression that follows the separation of young monkeys from their mothers. Dr. Harlow says that his work began as a mishap. He was raising single monkeys in separate cages when John Bowlby suggested that he was really raising a laboratory of abnormal monkeys. At that point, Dr. Harlow began to study the abnormalities. At the Hazleton Laboratories in Falls Church, Virginia, these normal monkeys are being studied and filmed by Dr. James Prescott of the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Active, curious, and alert, these healthy monkeys have been raised by their mothers. When they are put together in a cage, they react to each other with interest. They are at ease with each other. They play and touch each other freely. When Dr. Prescott separates the monkeys, they resist, holding each other tightly. They maintain body contact and cling to each other, even through the wire mesh of their cages. Monkeys raised in isolation behave quite differently. These monkeys were removed from their mothers at birth. They were hand-fed in incubators. They were raised in cages through which they could see, hear, and smell other monkeys, but could not touch or be touched by them. When they are put together, there is no play between them. They seem indifferent to touch. Or they react as though touch is unpleasant and move away from each other. When they are held, the isolation-reared monkeys show signs of great stress, screeching and baring their teeth. The stereotype movements of rocking backwards and forwards over and over again are typical of animals deprived of normal mothering. It is as though the animals attempt to give themselves the touch and motion stimuli they were denied in infancy. Dr. Prescott has theorized that this abnormal behavior in isolation-reared monkeys is a sign of abnormal functioning of the cerebellum, a brain structure associated with body movement. Similar behaviors in maternally deprived children, rocking and other stereotype movements, are common symptoms observed in institutionalized children all over the world. Some children who engage in stereotype movement, endlessly repeated, show evidence of brain damage. Stereotypical movements are observed in retarded children as well. All these children have been deprived of normal mothering for one reason or another, and display the same emotional and social impairment and stereotype movements as animals raised in isolation. Some scientists believe that the cerebellum is involved not only with movement, but with social and emotional behavior as well. At the Tulane University Medical School in New Orleans, studies of brain impairment are conducted with monkeys raised in isolation. Dr. Robert Heath has implanted electrodes, which cause no pain, in the brains of these monkeys. The electrodes are connected by wires to electronic equipment which monitors the activity of the cerebellum and other implanted areas, such as the septum. The septum is a principal brain structure associated with emotional behavior and with the experience of both pain and pleasure. Normal brain waves show up on a graph as consistent patterns, while abnormalities produce wide fluctuations, high-voltage electrical discharges, called spiking by scientists. Dr. Heath found such abnormalities in brainwave graphs of human schizophrenics. When the brainwaves of some of Dr. Harlow's old mother-deprived monkeys were measured, they also indicated visible spiking in both the cerebellum and the septum. The mother-deprived infant monkeys seem to have suffered brain impairment of some sort. At the Jewish Hospital and Medical Center of Brooklyn, other motherless monkeys from Dr. Harlow's original experiment are the subjects of brain impairment studies. Dr. A.J. Berman observes the extreme aggressiveness and hypersensitivity to touch of these Harlow monkeys raised in isolation. After the cage barrier is removed, the monkeys stalk each other. The moment they touch, they are driven to a violent attack. Isolation-reared monkeys are frequently observed biting and chewing away at their own limbs, a phenomenon frequently observed in mentally ill humans as well. In a very recent experiment, Dr. Berman operates on the cerebellum of an aggressive Harlow monkey. His question is whether removal of part of a particular area of the cerebellum will modify the aggressive behavior of the monkey without impairing its body control. If so, it may be possible to link some of the adverse effects of a mother-deprived infancy with impairment of a particular area of the brain. Although Dr. Berman's studies are still in progress, operations like these have successfully reduced aggression in some monkeys and made possible human petting and hand feeding, which were impossible before surgery. Brain surgery is an extreme solution to the problem of abnormal behavior. Much more practical is prevention, the positive effects of mothering that may provide insights into the most basic needs of the child. The early Harlow experiments demonstrated that feeding, while necessary to life, was not most important to infant isolated monkeys who craved body contact more and preferred the close softness of their cloth mothers. In normal development, vision is one natural guarantee of closeness between mother and child. Its importance can be seen in everyday games. Looking, hiding the eyes, and looking again. Endless variations of peekaboo, forever thrilling to new generations of children. When an infant has been born blind, there is a great danger to it in the disruption of normal patterns of mothering. This child has been blind from birth. He is part of a study by Professor Selma Freiberg of the University of Michigan Medical Center. Professor Freiberg is investigating the effects of blindness from birth on early emotional and intellectual development. This child, raised at home, has a warm and active relationship with his parents. He moves confidently. He is eager to learn. His motor skills are good. He is a happy and lively child and shows no blindnesses, such as self-absorbed rocking, that are common among institution-raised blind children. In infancy, he was held close and carried about. Extra attention has been paid to this child, but the lack of sight has not permanently impeded his growth. When a baby cannot see, his mother must find special ways to offer affection and stimulation through other senses, sound, touch, and movement. This swinging substitute mother, a bleach bottle covered with furry cloth, was invented for an experiment by Drs. William Mason and Gershon Berkson at the Delta Primate Center in Louisiana. The isolated monkey has known no other mother than this moving surrogate, which rises, falls, and sways in a random way. This isolated monkey has an identical substitute mother, but the mother does not move. At 10 months of age, the monkey raised on a moving mother substitute is given a chance to make close physical contact with a human being. His behavior seems normal. He appears to be curious, bold, and friendly. The monkey raised with a stationary mother behaves in quite a different way. He seems timid, cringing, and apparently unhappy. He appears emotionally disturbed, unsociable, and unresponsive to changes in the environment. Rocking and other abnormal behavior were prevented in the monkey on the swinging surrogate, although some abnormalities did appear, such as thumb sucking and self-biting. The monkey on the stationary surrogate displays the familiar stereotyped rocking movements. Dr. Mason's studies raise questions about the importance of body movement in the mother-child relationship. Certainly among most mammals, body contact, movement, and handling are an important part of mothering. Moving a child is perhaps nowhere a conscious action for the purpose of stimulating an infant's sensory system. It is a byproduct of play, or of the necessity of getting the child from one place to another so a mother can do her daily work. But children everywhere are moved. Even when they are restrained by swaddling clothes or cradle boards, they are carried, bounced, jostled, moved. Movement is part of a child's experience long before birth. He rides comfortably in his mother's womb, gently rocked as she walks and works through her day. Do babies who are deprived of their full share of prenatal rocking develop normally? A significant percentage of prematurely born babies are known to have some brain abnormalities. In some societies, premature babies live in a world of expensive incubators separated from living activity. At several New York hospitals, Dr. Mary Neal, a nurse, conducted experiments over a 20-month period to see if a specially designed rocking procedure would help prematurely born babies catch up to normal development more quickly. Would they exhibit fewer abnormalities than premature infants who are deprived of motion? Most premature infants spend their days sleeping, rarely waking, rarely crying. For several weeks, the babies were rocked for half-hour periods three times a day to make up the time they missed being carried in their mother's wombs. Then, the babies in the experiment were tested to gauge their rate of growth. Did the infant have crawling motions that show the beginning coordination of a left-right sequence, an expression of beginning mobility? Can he raise his head to prevent smothering when he is lying on his stomach? How long does it take him to clear his nose from the mattress? The full-term newborn baby has these abilities, and they are essential for the premature infant as well. How good is the infant's grasp? This indicates his muscle strength and coordination. It is easily measured by the weight he can pull. Premature infants who were not rocked in their incubators displayed less improvement than the rocked infants in such activities as raising their heads, beginning crawling, grasp, and response to visual and sound stimuli. Rocked infants also gained more weight. While this research is investigatory, it does reaffirm the importance of movement, even in the womb. The importance of rocking begins before birth. Children whose infancy is spent without mothering can become seriously retarded. This child is 6.5 months old. He has spent his life since birth in a typical institution. He has not been handled as a baby normally is by its mother. This child is already retarded by several months. He is unable to reach out and grasp a rattle as a child of his age could normally do. He is unable to hold his head straight or to sit by himself. He has not yet learned to eat from a spoon. Professor Theodor Hellbrugge of the University of Munich has observed that retardation at this early an age can result in lifelong disability. To counter the effects of early deprivation, Professor Hellbrugge and his associates have created a special institution for young children who have been denied normal mothering. This boy spent 6 of his 12 months of life in an institution where he was considered seriously retarded. On Professor Hellbrugge's experimental floor at Lührhaus, he was given a permanent caretaker who was with him all day long. The caretaker is a loving mother substitute who understands the importance of maintaining intimate contact with the baby, touching, fondling, playing. Under the impact of special attention, this boy, once considered withdrawn and retarded, begins to perk up. The more he is handled, the happier he seems to be. The devastation of a motherless beginning seems to some degree correctable at an early age if special effort is made. This child is making rapid progress toward normal development. The phenomenon of substitute mothers is found among lower animals, too. At the Downstate Medical Center in New York, Dr. Leonard Rosenblum investigates different styles of mothering between two types of monkeys. One type, bonnet monkeys, are a relaxed breed, gregarious, even cuddly. They are not likely to waste even an inch of space between them. Close contact and body touch seem to provide security to the bonnet monkeys. Adult females are as interested and affectionate toward all young monkeys in the group as they are toward their own, and mothers readily allow others to fondle and interact with their infants. If the mother of a bonnet infant is lost or removed, the infant is usually immediately adopted by another female. When the mother returns, neither she nor her baby makes any particular fuss over the reunion. Dr. Rosenblum observes a strikingly different approach to mothering among another type, the pigtail monkeys. Pigtails are independent and rather aloof from each other. In the pens, they sit apart and avoid physical contact. Pigtail mothers are jealous and not likely to share their infants or allow another monkey to touch their young. In studies of the effects of mother and infant separation, pigtail mothers are taken from their babies for varying periods. This particular separation was quite brief. Had it lasted longer, the infant most probably would have lapsed into a deep depression. When Dr. Rosenblum allows the pigtail mother to return, the reunion of mother and child is frantic. This intense one-to-one relationship allows for no alternatives. If a bonnet monkey loses its mother, it is adopted. If a pigtail infant loses its mother, it also loses the experience of being mothered. Research into the complexity of the mother and child relationship proceeds around the world with animals and humans. Scientists may never be able to say, this factor is the crucial one. We may learn that different aspects of mothering are important at different stages of development. But some things are becoming clear. Infants require stimulation of all their senses. No sense can be considered of lesser importance. As critical as sight and hearing, as necessary as emotion and social interchange, as undeniable as hunger, is the need to be touched and moved. The baby craves and needs to be rocked.